with us at our services here at Market Street. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like for you to take them and turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, we'll be looking here as we begin our lesson together this morning. Turn to Luke 17, you'll remember Jesus talking to his disciples. And as he talks with them in verse 22 and following, he's talking to them about the Son of Man and the day in which it'll be like. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall the days of the Son of Man be. He's talking about this time in which there's going to be this judgment that will come in the day, the last day. Verse 32, he makes a statement in the connection with this time that was coming for the children of, for the people of God. And he says, remember Lot's wife. I think it's interesting when he is going through and he's talking about that there's going to be these things that are going to happen and occur just quickly. That there's going to be no announcement, no made. There's not going to be anything that's going to be. He says it'll be like the same day that Lot went into Sodom. And it rained down there fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. So it wouldn't be like that. I think about the reminder then. Remember Lot's wife. That's interesting that we would take time to think about Lot's wife when we're thinking about that. But there are a lot of lessons we might learn about Lot's wife. Things we might gain from Lot's wife. And so this morning, as we look at our lesson together this morning, we want to look at Lot's wife. And you remember the story of Lot's wife. I'm turning back to Genesis chapter 19. Turn back with me to Genesis chapter 19. You remember as you have here the recording of the destruction of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, that Abraham pleaded that God would spare these cities if he could find finally just 10 righteous souls, that God would spare these cities. It says that they couldn't be 10 found. And so it says that they made haste. The angel of the Lord came and said, take thy wife and thy two daughters, verse 15, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the city. The day has come. You're going to have to get out, and if you don't get out, you're going to be consumed in the destruction of this city. And so they got out. They began to make their journey. And it says in verse 26 that Lot's wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. That's what she did. You remember Lot's wife? Well, yeah, she became a pillar of salt. And you know, we think about that, and you think, well, why does he tell us to remember Lot's wife? She became a pillar of salt. Is that all there is that we need to remember about Lot's wife? Well, I don't think so. I think the first thing we need to realize is she perished. That she perished because sin is punished by death. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, Paul tells us that the wages of sin is death. The eternal life is that which is a gift from God. In the Old Testament, this was physical death. In the New Testament, we even see physical death come upon the couple of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5 when they sinned and their life was taken from them and they perished. But you know, it's not the perishing of the physical life so much. It's about that spiritual perishing that we need to be concerned about. The fact that we all die, because we separate ourselves from God with sin. Sin is a separation from God. Death is described and defined as separation. The physical body is the body from the spirit. Spiritually, it is separation from the spirit from God. And we see that Lot's wife perished, but not only do we see Lot's wife perish, but she perished even though she knew God's will. I want to notice that she knew God's will. You know, she knew exactly what God said. Said, get out of this city, lest thou be consumed. Now, why in the world do you hang around? Why is it that you know destruction is coming? God has said, get out. And you know that it's coming. Well, you know, we might sit there and think about that for a minute. And we might sit there and say, well, think about Lot's wife, who she was. And we don't know a whole lot about her. Matter of fact, we're not even really said anything about Lot's wife till we get here to the city of Sodom and the destruction here. And he says he has his wife and these daughters. But she knew God's will was that they get out. That they not be consumed in the destruction of the city. And you see, she didn't just sit back and not go. In the text that we read, it said she started. She was making haste with her husband, with her daughters. And verse 26 says she looked back behind and became a pillar of salt. It is possible for people to perish when they know God's will. When they know God's will, it is possible for people to perish. I think a lot of times we sit there and think, well, if you know God's will and you know it, then you're not going to perish. Well, that ought to be the case. If you know what God's will is and you know you don't want to perish and you want to do what God wants you to do, you want to serve Him faithfully, then you're not going to do that which is wrong. You're going to do that which is right. But the fact of the matter is that sometimes people don't do what they know they ought to do. We need to remember Lot's wife. There may be times when we know God's will, when we know what God wants us to do. We realize what godliness is. We know what righteousness is. We know what being ungodly is and serving Satan. And we make choices in life and we put ourselves in positions to do things that God doesn't want us to do. We know all the time that this is God's will. We know what God wants, but we just, well, it may be our friends. It may be our family. It may be our jobs. It may be a lot of things that influence our decisions to make another choice. But we make a choice, full well knowing God's will. You know, it may be people that make a choice on Sunday morning like this morning as they get up and they begin to make their plans for the day. And maybe they know God's will isn't out to be a services. I need to be in the assembly of saints. That's what the Lord's will is that I come together with the saints to remember the Lord's death and suffering on the first day of the week. And I know that's where He wants me. But maybe there are many people that know that, but just don't do that. They need to remember Lot's wife. It may be that when it comes Sunday evening, you know, we've been on Sunday morning. We know that the Lord wants us to, with His saints. We know that He wants us to be together. We know He wants us to study God's Word. We know that, but, well, it's Sunday night. It's dark outside. It's raining outside. It's cold outside. It's hot outside. It's whatever it is outside. The sun's shining too bright. You know, you can start thinking of all kinds of excuses on all kinds of days. It's just not convenient. I've got many things I can do. Wednesday night, oh, I've been hard at it all day. I've worked hard. I'm just so tired. If I could just put my feet up for just a few minutes. But what's the Lord's will? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching. I know what God's will is. I know what He wants me to do, but you know, remember Lot's will. I know what God wants me to do. I know what His plan of salvation is. But I'm going to do that later. You know, I know it. Every time I think about this, I think of a man named Herschel I knew, who knew God's will and told me himself. He said, David, I'm going to do it. To have died before he ever did it. I'm going to. I know it. I know what I need to do. Lot's wife knew, but she perished. We need to take the admonition. Remember Lot's wife. Remember she knew God's will. We know God's will and we need to do it. Not only that, but we see that she had a righteous husband. Do you notice how that? I mean, here's Lot living here with his family in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And you think, how in the world did he get there? Well, he looked at the well-watered plains and he saw them and he said, that's where I'm going to pitch my tent. And he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Now, that was a mistake he made. All well knowing as time went that if he had had another choice, maybe he would have made another decision. But as I turn over to 2 Peter chapter 2, and I look here about this Lot who is living in these cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. It says here in verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with the overthrow, making them an example of those who that after should live ungodly. Notice verse 7 now, and delivered just Lot. He's speaking of God and what he's done. And he says, and he delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man. You know, sometimes we may look at Lot and we may give him a bad rap for making the choice he did. But by inspiration, Peter says that here was a just man living among ungodly people, trying to do right, and he maybe could have made a better choice, maybe should have made a better choice, but he is described here as a just man and a righteous man. And this was the husband to Lot's wife. Now, this gives me some other things to think about. Lot perished even though she had a righteous husband. Or we might say a righteous spouse. She perished. The righteousness and the fleeing of her husband did not cancel her responsibility. He was going, he was leaving, he wasn't looking back, he was getting out of those cities. God told him, get out, do not look back. And he and his daughters were leaving. But her personal responsibility was, you've got to leave and don't look back. But she looked back. She had a righteous husband, a righteous spouse who was doing the right thing, encouraging her to do the right thing. But she did wrong. She made her choice, a deliberate choice to look back. And people may say, well, but David, don't you know? She had all these friends and all these acquaintances and all the family and people. Wouldn't you understand that? But I want to tell you one thing. Serving God and being faithful to God, and I know this may shock some of you, but that's more important than all the family and all the friends and all the associations in this life you'll ever have. I'll say that again. Your relationship with God is more important than any family, any relationships in this life you will ever have. Oh yeah, we can say, well, look at her. She had all those friends and all the family and all the people that were being left in that city that was being destroyed. Yes, but doing what God says is first. There's no quibbling about that. And she turned to a pillar of salt. But so many times, we're like that. We're like Lot's wife. We say, oh, but I'm just concerned about this. But she perished. She perished even though she had a righteous husband, even though she knew God's will, and even though she did part of what she was told. You know, I think that's the interesting thing. She did part of what she was told. She was getting out and she was leaving. You know, it had been one thing if she had been sitting in the house and just never got up. But she got up and started on her way out. She was freed. She was outside. And then she looked back. The other thing is, you think, well, most people say, well, I'm not even going to get up and go. I don't want to leave. If I'm going to have my attachments to the things and the people and the people around me, I'm going to think about that before I get going. But no, she got up and got going, and then she looked back. I think about how many people there are that are just like this. They'll do part of what God tells them. They'll do part of what they're told. They'll serve God. I think about these people that in the Bible that are talked about. I think about those people that John talks about in John chapter 12 who were of the Pharisees who would not confess Jesus lest they should be put out of the synagogue. the idea and the indication there is that they were there among those Pharisees, people who believed. There were people who understood. They were convicted of who Jesus was. They thought he was teaching and doing right. I mean, they were not unconvinced of that at all. The only problem was they were not convinced enough to be able to confess him. They would do part, but they couldn't go all the way. But Jesus says, if you confess me not before men, I will not confess you before my Father which is in heaven. See, I can't just do part of it. There are people who may say, well, I'd like to do a little bit of here. I think about Felix, who said, when I have a convenient season, I'll call. But what did he do? He called. He wanted to hear. He wanted to hear these things. But when he was told, he says, when I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. A convenient season. You know, how many people are there that are like that, who want to do just a part? They'll take and pick what they want. But doing and obeying all the law of Christ is just too much for them. Too much. Doing part of what they're told. Maybe it's going to church on Sunday. Maybe it's being here and doing that part. But maybe on Monday it's like clicking the light switch and saying, okay, I'm back to Monday. I'm back to my Monday life. Monday through Saturday is a different life. We can't just do part. God wants it all. But Lot's wife perished. She perished even though she knew God's will, even though she had a righteous husband, and even though she did part of what she was told. But the lesson for us is do not look back, but look to God and look to Jesus. You know, when we see Lot's wife, we sit there and we say, well, why did she look back? Well, I don't know. I mean, we know these things about her. But what I know is that the lesson is for us not to look back. That faith requires an unwavering obedience. When God says something, that we do it. When I look at Genesis chapter 6 and I look at Noah, and I look at that he built the ark. And what does it say in Genesis chapter 6? When Noah had built that ark, it says in verse 22 that he did all that God commanded him to do. You see, he did all that he was commanded to do. He did it his faith without looking back, with unwavering obedience. He didn't look at the things that are around about him. Rather, he looked for pleasing God. Well, look at Abraham. He's told to get up and leave your homeland, leave your country, go to a land that I'm going to show you. He got up and he left. Left the Ur of the Chaldees. Left and started his journey. What? Did he get there? No, he did not. His whole life he spent wandering, dwelling in tabernacles and tents with Isaac and Jacob. What? Looking for a city who hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's what he looked for the whole life. But did he look back? Did he go back? Did he say, oh, I wish I was back in the early Chaldees? We don't need to look back. I think about Luke chapter 9. And I guess this may be the most familiar story for many of us about looking back. When Jesus says here in verse 57, it came to pass that when he went to a certain way, a certain man said unto Jesus, Lord, I will follow thee whether thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. But he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at my home, at my house. And Jesus said to him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You see, Jesus warns right here, don't look back. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. What did she do? She looked back. Here are people that said, oh, I'll serve you. I'll do it. But let me do this first. Looking back was always a hindrance. I think about the Galatian letter. I think about Galatians chapter 3 and how Paul talks in the letter there. How he talks about those Galatians, that you don't look back, that you don't go back to these things of the law. Don't go back to these beggarly elements, as he refers to them. Don't go back to those things. Why? They were looking back. They were looking back to their Judaism. They were trying to bring that in. They said, don't do that. Going back would make Christ and his sacrifice of no effect in their life. And he's telling the Galatians, do not go back. The Hebrew writer writes in Hebrews chapter 10, we're not those who draw back into perdition. We're not those who draw back. We have no pleasure in that. But we are people of faith, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We look to Jesus. We look to him by faith, as Abraham did, as Moses did, as all those great men of faith did. We look to Jesus. We look to him as our Savior. We look to him as the one who came and gave the sacrifice for our sins upon the cross. We don't look back to where we were. We look to where we're going. We're not concerned about the past. We're concerned about the future. We're concerned about here and now forward. But so many times, how many people is it that get worried and concerned about looking back? How many people are there that aren't serving the Lord because of looking back? Maybe it's because they're looking back to the world and they're attracted to those things of the world. You know, we don't see Moses doing that, do we? We don't see Moses ever looking back in his life, as we were thinking about Moses this morning. We don't see Moses ever going back and saying, well, I just wish I'd have been back in Pharaoh's house. He didn't do that. As a matter of fact, the Hebrew writer says, he had respect unto the reward, understanding that the riches in Christ were far better, far greater than all the treasures in Egypt. You see, he didn't look back. And we don't need to look back either. We need to make sure that we're looking forward. What does Paul say in Philippians chapter 3? He says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We've got to look forward. We've got to look ahead. And our lesson is that we must look to him from whom our strength comes in this life, that we might be found faithful in serving him. Because you see, in the last great day, we're going to stand there in judgment. We're going to stand before him in that last great day, and we want him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You see, Lot's wife can't have that said about her. Even though she knew the Lord's will, even though she had a righteous spouse, even though she did part of what she was told, she looked back. And the warnings in the Bible that tell us, don't look back, don't go back, do not return to where you were. May we as the people of God stand strong in our faith and be those people who are looking to Jesus as we live in this life, that we may spend an eternity with him. Maybe that you're here this morning, not a member of the body of Christ. This morning we'd love to see you come in faith, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died on that cruel cross of Calvary years ago for your sins. He paid that price. And now all he asks of you is your life of faith and obedience to him. If to this morning we can assist you in turning your life in that direction, you're willing to confess that, you're willing to be buried with him in baptism, you're ready to be risen up as a child of God, a new Christian, we'd love to assist you in that this morning. If we can assist you in any way, let us know how we can while we stand and while we sing.